Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, French comedian star Gad Elmaleh. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a French round of What Can't Adam Complain About, and a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, the only thing he'd hate more than an emotional support animal isn't an emotional rescue animal. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get him in to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling everybody about the show. Well, we start the show with this, but we truly do appreciate you finding a coworker, a friend, a family member, and getting them hip to this show. We rely on it. I also want to thank Z-Clip. Z-Clip.com. Enter Adam. Get you 15% off. Tell you all about that in a minute. Simply Safe as well. SimplySafe.com. And Castrol Edge. Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I am gay.
Oh, shocking revelation.
And Vinny Tortorich in studio. So much to discuss with Vinny. Vinny's got himself a new project, an upcoming documentary called Fat, a documentary. Contribute to the film, by the way. It's going to crowdfund it. Indiegogo, or visit fatdocumentary.com. I saw the trailer. It was wonderful. I am... I am never angry about the part of life where you say, hey, I don't have much money and I must buy an older car without an airbag. And then I got into a horrible accident and my son was killed because I couldn't afford an airbag. And I go, that's horrible. But it makes sense.
There's
you couldn't
math.
Afford it. This thing existed, yeah. And we didn't do it. The part where we've all been torturing ourselves with no airbags in our cars, and the cars cost more money, and we're getting fatter. And I know I'm mixing my metaphors now. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
This part where
it's crazy.
Where everyone has said, "Well, I would love a juicy marbled steak, but instead I'll go with a broiled chicken breast and just suck it up because I'm going to do what's right, or I'm going to have this toast. I'm going to put margarine on it, but I won't put butter because I'd really like butter. But I'm going to do what's right." And that this has been sanctioned by the government and literally spoon fed to us over the last 35, 40 years is insane.
Not only is it sanctioned by our government, but we have governments around the world that are following this whole eat more grains, more heart healthy grains. This is good for you. I was talking to Drew about this over the weekend. In South Africa,
Drew, by the way, is all meat.
I hate him right now.
He had a cow on a stick when I saw him, and he was just eating it like
gnawing
like
at
a Dove bar. It was insane.
He wasn't even hungry.
Hand to God.
He wasn't even hungry.
Yeah. Hand to God.
What?
Literally.
Wow.
Literally.
Look it up.
Google that shit. Look it up. Sorry. Yeah, he's all nutty protein all the time.
Right now he's all in. And I said, Drew, I've been yelling at you for almost 3 years. He goes, yeah, but a doctor came in and told me it was okay. And I was sitting next to him in that couch upstairs. I almost reached over and punched him.
At his house.
I hate you right now.
Delightful insult.
But, you know, here's what's going on. In South Africa, Dr. Timothy Noakes sends out a tweet. The South African government comes down on him, puts him through a multi-million-dollar court case. He wins. You know, he was telling people, hey, you need to eat less grains, you need to eat more meat. The government goes, no, 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 we can't have that because that's a real problem. Tim Noakes goes through the entire trial. They let him off, right? There's nothing here. This is big old nothing. This is nothing. The South African government is trying him again because they don't have that no double jeopardy thing. But wait, it gets worse. Over in Tasmania, Dr. Fetke is over there. He's a guy who was chopping people's limbs off with type 2 diabetes. He looks around and goes, wait a minute. Instead of chopping their limbs off, I can reverse this by taking them off of sugar and grains. He does that. The government censures him and says if he does it again, they will remove his medical license.
I got to tell you, we had, was it David Zucker? And was I talking to Jim Abrams?
You were talking to Jim Abrams.
Sorry. Abrams, Zucker, Zucker. He's Jewish. Pretty interchangeable.
Zucker, Abrams,
Zucker. Pretty interchangeable here in Hollywood and whatnot. Now, if we're in Montana, that'd be on me. Yeah, and he was explaining how his son's seizures were eliminated through this diet.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, like, there are things that whenever anyone experiments with this diet around here, or you do it for yourself for a period of time, it is in a world full of, I think I feel better. I'm not sure. Like, I took a multiple vitamin. How does that make you feel? I don't know. I've been taking multivites for a year. Do you feel better? I think I do. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, in a world where you don't know, oh, you know. You know fast with this diet.
Yeah.
The weight comes off. People look better. Their energy level is higher and so on and so forth. Are they in cahoots with Big Farm and not Pharma, but just Big Farm? And they don't want to.
There's so much going on. We're in cahoots with grains because ever since World War II, when we were too big to fail in the farm industry, we started subsidizing grains. That's why Taco Bell is still 69 cents. It's all grains, right?
Right.
So we are in cahoots with them. We ship these grains around the world. We can't make these quote unquote heart healthy grains go away because we have so much depending on it, but it's killing us.
But hold on. What an amazing fortune that fell in the manna from heaven that landed in the government's lap,
right?
Is all these asshole ass wipes talking about meat as murder and bad vibes and all these ass wipes simultaneously. You know, the government doesn't normally, they're not on the right side of the issue of many of these kind of cause celebs and stuff like that. Like, hey, the Japanese want to shoot the whales, but the Rainbow Warriors want to stop the whales. But what a windfall. A whole pack of assholes from Hollywood and beyond have also decided that grain is the way to go.
It's even worse than that. In 1918, 100 years ago, there was a guy named Dr. Kellogg who came up with putting a grain into a chip and calling it a cornflake. He was a Seventh-day Adventist who didn't believe that people should not only not have sex, but not masturbate. And he had a woman that worked for him who had a premonition. This all started with a premonition.
Mm-hmm.
She had a premonition one night that we should not eat anything with a face, which started veganism that day. And Kellogg's the same thing. Kellogg's looked around and went, wait a minute, this is good for business. I'm going to get behind this. And veganism was started exactly 100 years ago, except they had one problem. We didn't have exogenous vitamins back then. You couldn't take a vitamin pill. We hadn't discovered them yet. So veganism couldn't even take hold until like 40 or 50 years ago when you could get a vitamin B, because you can only get B from red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cut that out, in other words, that's the one thing I ask all these vegan doctors. I want you on my movie. I want you in my movie. But the first question, I'll give it to you guys up front, is how do you expect a vegan to get B12 if a B12 vitamin did not exist? And the answer is you can't, which means your diet does not exist as a good diet.
Dr. Drew, who's on this crazy, just nothing but meat, comes in here eating hard-boiled eggs. The thing about Drew's one of these guys where you tell him to do something and he does it.
He'd
probably be the opposite of everyone I went to high school with, or at least who hung out with me in high school, which
he's studious.
Every single thing was a loose suggestion blowing in the wind, where Drew, you go, eat protein. He comes in there with 17 eggs and just he's doing one in his keister and he's got another one in his mouth. And it's like, you could just not eat and then eat protein when you do eat protein.
Yeah, he also like dip between his lip and his gum.
Yes.
He's trying to get all the protein in.
So he's doing it. And Drew's also, he's wired like a chick. Sorry, Gina.
No problem.
But he has a lot of like, look. He's this close to having the vapors half the time I talk to him. Like, he comes in and he's like, I'm just not him. I'm not how I'm not. You know, anybody who does our show will know it's all Dr. Drew just kind of going, I'm not feeling it today. I don't know. I've just been out of sorts. Like, the whole week, I've just been out of it. And it's like, I don't know why. Why would I start eating that meat, man?
He's back.
He comes in here like Shaft every day. A guy playing a bass guitar behind him. It's like, he's on a roll.
And his wife said, he's chasing me around the bedroom.
Oh, right. Well, he's, listen, he was a man of extreme passion on a bagel. He was a man of extreme.
Really?
He's a man of exquisite passion. I don't
know.
Oh. Drew.
I'm just talking about Drew.
Drew has told me he will not go to strip clubs. And not out of respect for his wife, but because he will literally charge the stage.
What?
Like, he is,
come
like,
on.
Literally, he has said, he said, in a respectful way, he will charge that stage. No, he said that.
You're kidding right now, right?
What I'm saying to you is, I can enjoy a strip club. And
from an aesthetic point of view.
Yeah. Now, not if you're going to go full Kellogg rules for right. when I get back to the hotel in Vegas, but under the Kellogg, before the Kellogg rules kicked in, I could then go enjoy, have a few beers, a strip club, and make it home. Drew looks at that as torture.
Oh.
Drew looks at, well, just get back to beef. Drew looks at it as you going to your favorite steakhouse and just sitting and watching people eat steak, you know, just smelling it. Hearing
well,
it seared, never engaging.
I feel
engaged.
The same
like,
way
I
about strip clubs, but I don't mind going and then, you know, collecting some bank and then going back, you know, like
well,
you.
He's also pussy whipped. I mean, there is that factor. But sure. I think his wife would get pissed. But I'm telling you, he's a man of exquisite passion.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
He's like 60 or so. He's older
than me.
He's
always that. I don't know that that passion motor
fades.
It's not, they call it your joint, but it's not a joint.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not like a knee or hip, you know, when they start to slow down, can't strap on the cleats anymore. It's
it
not
digs,
that.
It digs his claws in.
It digs in.
Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. Takes hold.
All right. So hold on a second. Oh, Drew is going to be, he's going to be in Vinny's doc.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, Kalen over here lost 19 pounds in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
I actually lost 14 in 1 week, and I had to text Vinny saying like, "How is this possible? Are the scales broken at my gym? I didn't know that could even happen."
I hate dudes so much.
Oh, no, they can fart and lose 20 pounds.
It's the and also so what works really well is that sort of fast as much as you can during the day, and then go protein for dinner. And go with a little of the MCT oil or cream or whatever in the morning and the coffee and see if you can make it through the day and then have yourself a big steak and some broccoli at night. And to me, that's probably the fastest way to lose that weight.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's one of these things where, of course, we're wired to go extended periods without eating. And I have found that if you have some of the cream and the MCT oil in the morning, you make it straight through to dinner, no problemo, with no energy or anything.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing that I was initially, one of my concerns when I initially went in with this with you, Vinny, because my whole family's hypoglycemic, we all have blood sugar issues, and I'm thinking, I don't know about this. But after you have your coffee and cream or you have your eggs in the morning, you're fine. That took
no
care
problem,
of my blood
right?
sugar.
Yeah, I just, again... Boy, there are pockets of this country and many, many other countries that could use this information desperately. I have never, you know, as you brought it up in the trailer for the doc. Well, why don't we, I'll tell you what, get that loaded, and I'll tell everyone about it's. It's 59 seconds. I think we can make it. I'll tell people about Z-Clip. Oh, I got my bad boy. Pulled it out the other day and got a nice big fat compliment over at the Trader Joe's. Chiropractors say you sitting on a 4-inch thick wallet all day is going to jack up your lower back. So let's be smart. Let's do our butt a favor. Let's get the Z-Clip. More than a money clip, made with a carbon fiber and carbon steel. No hinges, no magnets, plus RFID protection around your credit cards. I didn't know this was a big deal, people being able to scan your credit cards and stuff through that...
From afar,
through that wallet you currently have. No, this stuff is bulletproof, and it's RF-proof. Keeps your money and your identity safe. You can visit zclip.com. Click on the podcast mic, upper right-hand corner. Use the promo code Adam. Get 15% off. What a gift. Great graduation gift. Great Father's Day gift. That's zclip.com. 15% off with the promo code Adam. Again, you want a conversation piece or you want a great gift, just go check it out. Go to zclip.com and let them know I sent you. Look at this really cool product. Also, you have no idea how light carbon fiber is. You go, oh, no wonder they make race cars out of this.
Yeah.
You pick up this clip and it doesn't even weigh anything. All right, let's take a look at Fat, the trailer for the doc.
I'm Vinny Tortorich, and I've been in the health and fitness profession for 36 years. There were several things missing in the 1970s. There were no big box gyms, certainly no Jane Fonda dancing around yet. No fitness ads on television.
You just shake it back and forth.
And there were no fat people. So the big question becomes, when did we start getting fat? Let's look at a myth. 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. Where did that come from? So am I to believe that Shaquille O'Neal and Peter Dinklage are supposed to have the same amount of water on any given day? Where did it come from? I remember there was an Oprah show where she rolled out a little radio flyer wagon full of fat and go, hey, this is horrible for you. Don't eat this. And then she tells people, go eat bread.
I love bread.
My question is always, how do we end up here? It's about time that you guys knew the truth.
So good.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing better than information because it's free. And if you want to talk about a way to whatever you're looking for out of life, people are looking to make money. They're looking to avoid disease. They're looking to lose a few pounds.
Sure.
The best part is information. It's such a weird thing. Like everybody would happily everyone happily understands the notion of, hey, it's the church is giving out free spaghetti meals. Go get in line. Or this, or handing this out. Or handing that. Everyone gets in line. Nobody gets in line for information. Mm-hmm. And it's the best. It's the
most valuable of all.
Of course, you can't. There's people who made billions of dollars just from information that they got from somebody. Everyone's in a weird circle of wagons mode when it comes to letting in new information. It's like, hey, I know what I know. Or this is what I do. Or
you know, my ways.
It's just like, it's weird, and it's also weird with nutrition. It's like I can't stand with the, oh, it's got to be wholesome and hot and hearty, and it's like no, just have let them eat an apple or a piece of cheese. Like they don't need that Quaker oatmeal crap. Yes,
and Adam, I want to be very clear. We're not just doing a documentary here. The guy I'm doing it with, Peter Pardini, sat in the same chair. I met him one day when I was on my way out. He's the guy that did the Chicago
documentary.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Really. And good. I'm walking out, and he goes, "Big fan." And I'm like, "Oh, great, thanks." And turns out he lost like 80 pounds doing my thing from listening to it on this show. And he came to me and said, I want to do a documentary. And I said, we can't. And he said, why? I said, because I know a guy named Mike August. And I asked him, and Mike August was like Rain Man. He kept going, 500,000, 500,000. You need 500,000, 500,000.
Not for this stuff.
And I kept saying, I don't need it.
Walkner's the form.
Yeah, yeah. it just wouldn't stop, right? So Peter said, we could do this for 150,000. And here's the cool part. It's not just information. He said, be sure to tell Adam and the gang, this is not a documentary. We're doing a movie. But, you know, you could put a documentary out and it can look like homework.
Right.
You know, where you're just sitting there dreading it. We're really going for it in this doc. We're creating a movie. We're getting the top doctors from both sides of the aisle to talk about it. And we're going to try to build what should be health and not just some weird right-wing version or left-wing version, meaning paleo versus vegan.
Well, as I've always said, we have to assign a political party or movement to every goddamn thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be assigned something. And at some point, somebody yelled out, meat is murder.
Right.
And that's saying pretty good.
Yeah.
So the folks that were on the meat side were the bad people. And the folks that were on the kale side were the good people. And next thing you know, some sort of battle started. And whenever a battle starts, the first casualty are the facts.
Wow.
Powerful.
I had that sniff pocketed for like 25 minutes. But of course, now you're arguing over who's right and who's wrong, and you're picking a side, and they're picking a side, and now all the facts are going away, and all your rhetoric's climbing in. I mean, you know instinctively, you know, whenever I have somebody, whenever someone would explain to me, you know, I grew up with a sort of hippie mom, and then I grew up in Hollywood, you know. So a lot of, you know, we weren't meant to. Like, I love the we weren't meant to. We weren't meant to wear underpants, you know. We weren't meant to have glasses. I don't know what we're meant for, you know what I mean? Like, we're not meant for this. We're meant to walk barefoot. We're not meant to fly in a commercial aircraft or whatever you're not meant for. We're not meant to eat meat. I was always like, every single time I'm driving on the highway and I pass an In-N-Out Burger sign that I can see from the highway and I start to salivate a little bit, I don't think that's a sign that I'm not meant. And I'm not salivating thinking about the Veggie Lovers special or the burger with a slice of cheese and lettuce, but no meat in it. That's not what's gotten me salivated. And when I smell the barbecue joint that I'm crossing, I start salivating again.
Yeah.
I don't,
involuntary.
I'm not down with your theory of not meant to. Yeah. I don't think I would. I think it'd be a very cruel joke. It'd be like someone saying, back to Kellogg, you know, we're not meant to have sex or we're not meant to masturbate. It's like, boy, it's a pretty strong tingling in my loins.
Joke,
like, it would be a very cruel joke to say this was wrong when I feel it in my marrow of my bones, you know?
Yeah, the not meant to thing is very slippery. Like, most half of women weren't meant to survive childbirth in, you know, the last 2,000 years. And yet, science has allowed us to have a 99.5% survival right now.
Yeah,
the most palatable thing to any human is fat. There's no doubting that. And they're telling you to take the one thing that you crave more than anything else, other than masturbation, just don't do that. It's ludicrous on levels you can't even imagine.
I have a question about branding. You know, we talk about how kale and Brussels sprouts, they have, like, great publicists. And when I talk to people about doing no sugar, no grain, they always say something to me that I have no response to because I don't even know what they mean. They go, oh, well, you're talking about grains, but I eat whole grains. And I want to go, I'm
so
not
they
sure
eat
what
more
to say.
Grain than you is
right.
what they're saying.
But I'm like, I don't think you know what you're saying because I don't know what you're saying.
They have no idea what they're saying. It's all been advertising.
When did the whole grain get this?
Look,
this
it's like what I've always said about squirrels. It's just a rat with a good PR agent. Mm. You know, it's the same thing. Whole grains. It doesn't matter. Your liver is a meritocracy. Your liver doesn't go, oh, wait a minute. Gina just gave me a whole grain. I'm going to separate this out from all the other lesser grains and use that differently. It's a grain. Your liver sees it exactly the same way. And in California, the state that likes to take acrylamide and everything else and make it illegal, right? It's acrylamide in coffee. You would have to drink 1,000 of these a day to get enough acrylamide to cause a problem.
He's pointing at his cock.
But you can walk into any Brussels sprouts laden restaurant, which is full of acrylamide, because after you burn the Brussels sprouts, guess what you have?
Acrylamide.
It's everywhere. You can't get rid of it.
The char.
Right. And the same thing with goose pate. You can't make it here in California because you have to force feed geese grains.
He's pointing at his cock again.
Yeah.
This is weird.
If you're force feeding geese grains and you're saying that that's cruel and unusual punishment, and then you're supposed to feed it to a kid, what, we like the goose more than a freaking kid?
Well,
none of it makes sense.
What doesn't make sense,
some pretty kids out there,
is, you know, look no further than Disneyland. And I always said, not to be horrified by the fat people from Iowa, but to be horrified by the 19-year-old employees from Los Angeles and California. The employees at Disneyland are huge. We all got the fat guy off the bus thing. These people work there, and they're massive. The notion that you take And I'd like to, I'll say it's probably, I don't know statistically how it works, but coming from Los Angeles, which is about half Hispanic, I feel like I've seen more heavy Hispanic kids because I feel like it's a lower income thing. Like they do eat all the stuff that they can't afford, the $8 smoothies or whatever it is. I'd like to figure that out. If you break it down, you know, it's like, amongst ethnicities. But either way, I feel like I've seen a lot more of that. I feel like a lot of it is just information. I have no idea what they're eating and why everyone keeps getting fatter. And maybe they're not eating dessert, but they're still getting fatter. We take Los Angeles and California have waged an uninterrupted war on smoke, smoking, secondhand smoke, thirdhand smoke, where you can smoke, cigarettes. For the last 30 years, pretty much uninterrupted, the last 20 years, nonstop. You can't turn on the TV without seeing a PSA about the smoke, whatever. Like, meanwhile, the kids are just getting morbidly obese, which has to be insanely unhealthy to the kids. Right. They run a spot or two, if you watch enough TMZ, about I'm cooking more vegetables. They never talk about cutting back on the grains. They never talk about meat or fat. They never talk the way Vinny talks. They just show them in a make-believe garden, which doesn't really exist where they live because they live in a crappy apartment off of Western and Normandy somewhere. But they show them out and their kids are like playing and we're eating more, like this insanely unrealistic thing. If they would cut out the tortillas and just have the carne asada, it would help. But they don't say that. And they never really get any of the bullet points or specifics of it.
They're practical.
In order to make that happen, the AHA, the American Heart Association, the ADA, the American Diabetes Association, the World Health Organization, JAMA, all of these people would have to admit that for the past 55 years, they've been absolutely wrong. And by them admitting that, they have more blood on their hands than Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin put together. They've killed that many people. Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound popular to compare that to Hitler, but it's the truth. Yeah. Right, we talk about gun control. We want to save everyone with gun control. Okay, yeah, guns kill people, but guess what? This kills people too. But no one's talking about
it. It's a perfect example. It's a nonstop discussion about guns and never this topic. All right, I got a question, Chris. You have the obesity breakdown circa 2012.
Yep, here it is. Oh,
by ethnicity. Hold on, let me talk to Peter. On the phone, 26 Covina. Peter?
Ace.
You got a French fry cooking question?
Yeah, so my older brother is autistic, and he's very routine-based, so he eats French fries every day. We've tried to get him to eat fruits and vegetables and, like, barbecue. Well, we do barbecue meats for him, but it needs a marinade. So my question was about the French fries. I know we shouldn't be eating French fries, but does it make a difference to fry them in beef tallow versus peanut oil or vegetable oil?
1,000% better to cook it in tallow. Not only is it better.
What is beef tallow?
Tallow is the fat from beef.
Fat. All right, beef fat.
And by the way, you could do it in pork. You could do lard. You could do pork fat. It's 1,000% better. As a matter of fact, not only... Well, let me answer two questions. Yes, it's not good for him because eating potatoes is not good for him. But actually cooking, frying, deep frying anything in vegetable oil will cause heart disease. That's what causes heart disease. And when the do-gooders...
But this is heart health. It says heart healthy. There's a picture of a heart on the bottle.
With
and then it says
up.
Healthy.
Right. Yeah, and then there's an Indian running across the thing saying, Mazola.
Yeah. Hold
none
on.
Of that is
they
healthy.
They have a cloth measuring tape squeezing the heart around the middle like
so
its waist is getting trimmer.
Yeah.
So how can you argue with that?
Well, I'm arguing with it.
Okay.
Now, and not only does it taste better and the fries come out really nice and brown on the outside and really, really juicy on the inside because it just captures that. Whenever we did that, now for your brother, that's fine. If that's what he'll eat every day, you have to do it. We did that with McDonald's. You know, we got McDonald's to topple.
Right.
And we made him take the beef tallow out of the fryers to make it more heart healthy because someone had the thing with the thing around it. And
because all the vegetarians going to McDonald's were
all
pissed.
We did was cause more heart disease because after McDonald's toppled, everyone else toppled. And why did the fast food companies go for it? Because it's cheaper to put vegetable oil in those fryers than it is to put beef tallow.
Sure.
Is vegetables the worst? The seed is better than the vegetable?
No, poof is. They're all bad.
They're all bad.
It's
you told me once the oils, I think, of a seed versus a vegetable or a...
Fruit oil is the best. Avocado.
Fruit's the best.
Yeah, avocado oil, olive oil, this kind of
thing. Oh, right, right. Yeah. Fruit.
Yeah,
I never think of olive and avocados as fruit.
Well,
but
why
yeah.
is that? Because when it comes to food, we stay away from the fruits and we go toward the right. seeds. And so what's why does it switch in oils?
It's weird because when they take, you have to process this oil. If you ate flax seeds, if you ate chia seeds, you ate oil, it's fine. It's
hey.
Good. It's when you take it out, you process it,
Peter.
And you cause a problem.
Yes.
Did your brother get that samurai yes. sword I sent him for being such a big fan of the show?
He did. We had to put a half block, between the guard, the scabbard and the handle, but, you can still swing it around.
Okay. Smart. I just wanted him to have something to go to in case you're late on those fries. Hey, Peter, yeah. God bless you, man. So there you go. Beef aloe.
Tallow.
Tallow, sorry.
Can I ask one more question? There's a couple of additives in the good news is I convinced my dad to switch that a couple months ago, so we've been using it. There are a couple of additives to, one of them is a foaming retardant and maybe a preservative or something. Are those going to be any issues?
Where would you get your beef tallow?
Yeah, you should be able to get it fresh, and you can actually buy it on Amazon these days fresh.
All right, so go to Amazon, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff. Try to get away from retardants. And
you know, every time, I'm glad you didn't do this one, which everyone has done to me throughout my life, and I've never tried it because I never think it's going to work. I like when people go, just go into the butcher and ask the guy,
right,
and he'll give
him.
You a bucket of it for free. I'm always dubious. I'm like, I don't have that good a relationship with any butcher. And just go into any butcher shop and then just tell him you want the. I'm always picturing the exchange.
I'm like Alice from what was it?
Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher. Yeah, I know my
Brady
butcher.
Bunch.
Yeah, down in Fallbrook. I love my butcher, and I tell that to people, and they go, "You know your butcher?" It's like, you don't.
We have the. We have the obesity rates. Now, how many... Oh, this is the state of obesity by ethnicity? Sorry.
Yeah, this is stateofobesity.org. They did a chart between whites, blacks, and Latino children.
Mm-hmm. The all children. Black is... all right, so black is... sorry, all children. The average is about 17. It's 16.9, so it's a 17. Black's a little above that at 20.2. Latino's 22.4, and white at 14 or whatever. And if you had Asian, I don't believe they would chart. Right. Now, so I was right in my thought about seeing the Latina kids... it's a little bigger in size normally than the honky, which also probably used to mean you were doing better. So there's probably some other baggage attached to this, like emotionally. But if you're going to do something that might help that population in SoCal, a little less with the smoking and a little more with the put down the churro.
Yeah, probably help more people.
It never crosses anyone's mind. I hope this movie changes things. I'm going to tell you about Simply Safe Home Security. Oh, these guys are the best, man. Big news. Simply Safe won Editor's Choice Awards from CNET Magazine, PC Magazine, and The Wirecutter. They put Simply Safe through a battery of tests, compared it to other home security products, and it won every time. I've been telling you about Simply Safe for years. My opinion, best home security system, hands down. We all have it here. Dawson has it. And again, maybe you would like to put it in your apartment right now, but you think, man, it might be in a house a year from now. Fine.
Take it with you.
Take it with you. That's what we did. That's what Dawson just did. Comprehensive protection, just $15 a month with no contract. My listeners get my personal discount, 10% off. It's simplysafe.com. simplysafe.com/Adam. Great company, great people. simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Amy Schumer was the... Now, I don't know the full story, but she had a movie that came out that seemed a little...
New movie called I Feel Pretty.
It felt... I like Amy Schumer. I think Amy Schumer's funny. I feel the same way about her as I feel about Ben... who was that?
Stiller?
Ben Stiller, who's like... Makes a joke about... All he does is comedies, but his shirt's off almost the entire time. And it's kind of like, I think there's a little bit of a body dysmorphic disorder, whatever. Like, he's always playing the comedy character, but with the shirt's always off as well. And Amy sort of has this...
That dude is yoked.
...obsession with this sort of physicality, which is... Interesting. I feel like once you're going for comedy, you get to go, well, doesn't really matter what I look like because I'm going for comedy. Women, it matters a little more, but, and everyone wants to look good, but I think we'll, you know, Roseanne's doing all right.
Yeah.
She's always done okay. Like, I feel like when it comes to comedy, we're,
get more leeway.
We want to laugh first, and then we'll decide whether we want to F you. After we're laughing or something, but this is a point of focus with her. So this new movie, she hits her head and thinks she's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it sounds like Shallow Hal, but it's turned on her.
Yeah, it's pretty high concept.
Did you see it?
I didn't, but you got the idea.
Yeah, it's basically she hits her head at the gym and wakes up and sees a supermodel in the mirror, and it completely changes the way not only she lives her life, but the way she interacts with people, the way people interact with her. You know, everyone learns a valuable lesson, has fun, whatever. But people are apparently pissed about this movie because a white blonde woman dared make a movie where she says, I'm not pretty enough. And there's a lot of, and I hate using this word, but there's a lot of backlash from, you know, some movie reviewers and from Twitter. And how dare she, you know, she's not actually bad looking. She is, yes, thin. She is white. She's a cisgendered white blonde female. She has no reason to complain. This movie doesn't make any sense. And it pissed Bill Maher off so much that he did a segment on his show called Explaining Jokes to Idiots, which I think he's done before. Mm-hmm. And I pulled the whole thing, it's 6 minutes and it's brilliant. But I pulled just three clips for you just to see him make his point.
All right.
So the first one, he kind of goes after the movie reviewers a little bit for not simply reviewing the movie.
The LA Times asked,
can you pause it for a second? There's no more simply reviewing anything.
Yeah.
Everything has to have a storyline read into it and take a political turn and champion a movement and slap another group around. There is no such thing as simply just reviewing a movie. Sorry, go ahead.
The LA Times asked, wouldn't a bolder, more progressive version of the story have cast a woman of color?
Hold on. I'm pissed. First off, it's a comedy. It does not need to be bolder or progressive. Yeah. It just need to laugh. That's the bolder and progressive. Let the politicians handle the bolder and progressive. This notion of like what we want out of our Starbucks and what we want out of our comedies and what we want. They're comedians. They're not politicians. There's no. And it's like, well, we could have made a better statement. That's not the mission statement. Yeah. It's not to make a statement. The mission statement is to make people smile.
Make a movie. Yeah.
But would it have been bolder? Like, yes, we could have had a bunch of retarded kids of color put in the entire cast. Right. That would have been super bold.
Yeah, that's a pretty lazy critique too. Any movie starring a mostly or all white cast could be made. Saving Private Ryan be a very bold choice to have an all black female cast, but they chose to go with a more traditional story.
Be a little bit.
Also, it's Amy Schumer.
Oscar Schindler could have been a black woman. That
Amy
very
Schumer's
bold.
A white woman who wants to make a movie. So. Yeah. Okay.
Bill agrees with you.
Okay,
under that logic, no one can make a
poor,
you're scooping Bill.
I'm scooping Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, for Christ's sake, can't it just be funny? Can't we just sit in a movie theater, unclench our assholes for 2 hours, and laugh at what it is instead of dissecting it for what it is not? Movie reviews. They're not even reviews anymore. They're just, how come you made the movie you made and not the one I would have made? If I had talent, which I don't.
Then he goes on to talk about people really calling into question Amy making this movie when she's a white and able-bodied woman. How dare she?
Able-bodied.
Yeah. Oh, no, that comes up a few times.
Able-bodied.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, but being white is hardly the only thing Amy did wrong. The New York Post says the film is tone deaf for casting a straight, white, able-bodied blonde. And The Independent concurs, noting the film was flawed because Amy was still blonde, able-bodied, and well-dressed, with all the trappings of Western beauty standards. Yes, she's a traitor to feminism because she wears clothes, has all her limbs, and is hotter than Predator.
Picture Harvey Weinstein.
Comedian Sophie Hagen also noted Amy's able-bodiedness. What is it with this? Adding that she's femme. And yes, thin. She is society's beauty ideal. No, she's precisely not. That's her act, you idiots. But you know who is society's beauty ideal? This one.
Gal Gadot.
The one feminists love more than life itself. A 6-foot supermodel in hot pants.
And finally, this is just sort of his end sort of mission statement, warning liberals to pick their battles, essentially.
The answer isn't to insist that everyone in society love you exactly the way you are. It's to learn to tell the ones who don't that you don't need them, which is exactly what Amy learns in the movie. Just the way at the end of The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy realizes she didn't have to go on that big acid trip to appreciate what she had at home. When will liberals learn that barking at nothing makes people not want to listen when you actually have something to say?
Yeah, asshole audience is applauding, but they applaud everything that's insane. And I've always said, that's the deal. They don't stop. There is no stopping. They just do stuff that it doesn't even make sense anymore. When they're out of problems, they will just make more problems and they won't stop. It's called progressive. Progressive doesn't mean eventually you take a fucking break. It's progressive. It just keeps going. All right, we've gotten this. Now we're going for that. And at a certain point, like every group, like PETA and everything else, you just start to lose it. You start to lose it because they've solved their big problem and they just keep expanding and franchising and they just can't stop.
What started with a noble goal is now sort of spilled over.
Right. And now no one is listening. Now no one's listening. Yeah. Like if somebody said PETA or the ACLU or the NAACP or whatever had a problem with, you wouldn't even be listening anymore. Like, you'd be like, yeah, well, screw it. They jumped the shark a million years ago. Yeah, they got a problem with what? Stand-up comedian who said what on a special?
A great example is the ACLU. Like, you know, in the civil rights era, they were doing great things, but now it's like, well, if you heard a headline, the ACLU is upset because I'm like, who cares now? Like, of course they're upset. That's their default setting.
Every one of those groups, if you heard that, you just go, oh, I'm sure it's a big fat nothing burger. Some group is offended. Again, ACLU. NAACP is the same. And they've all jumped the shark.
Yeah. There was also a Cinco de Mayo tweet from the Southern Poverty Law Center that people seem to not be into. And I'm looking for it right now. But it's something about, you know, how we're celebrating cultural appropriation. And, you know, we need to stop doing that. And it's very offensive. And people are like, what?
Here's the deal. If you're the Southern Poverty Law Center, you can hide behind your made up retarded name and people think you're doing good work when you're not. But if I was in charge of those pack of assholes, I would say to them, hey, we got a good thing going here because we get tons of money from companies to basically extort money from companies to keep going. We're out Al Sharptoning what Al Sharpton did. That's what it is. It's fine. It's good. We got a good thing going here. But when we go into Cinco de Mayo and all this, we're jumping the shark. People are going to find out about it. Eventually, the extortion racket we're in is going to go away. So let's just pretend we're working on real injustice here. And that way, and we got a great name. We got a great full of shit name, but all right, let's just pretend, and then we'll keep getting money from companies. That's the way it'll work. I don't know why they keep going.
Yeah.
They got a great racket working here, but that's it. All right, so...
It says, most of the festivities surrounding Cinco de Mayo in the U.S. are textbook examples of cultural appropriation, relegating the history and culture of Mexican people to novelty items. Mexican culture cannot be reduced to tacos, oversized sombreros, and piñatas.
Well, first off, every sombrero It's oversized. There's no yarmulke sombrero. No one ever graced a miniature sombrero or mini sombrero or sub sombrero. No, by definition, a sombrero is a huge hat.
That should be Lacrimosa's next band name, Appropriate Sombrero.
Appropriate Sombrero.
Yeah. Show this Friday. Borderline.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll get on with our lives. Yes, tech advances have made engines smaller and had to work that much harder, and that's why you got to get Castrol Edge. Also, they've collaborated with the Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. You can find if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. See for yourself. Well, first off, figure out how Castrol Edge can deliver even under demanding circumstances by getting some, and then you check out the video. Castrol USA YouTube page is where you go. All right, coming up, Cleveland Agora Theater. That is next Thursday, the 17th. I'll be doing a one-man show out there. Detroit Royal Oak Theater. That is next Friday, May 18th. That's a one-man show as well. Second show in Portland. And I'll tell you, go to AdamCarolla.com. There's a bunch of live shows coming up. You can check that out. We got some Corolla drink stuff coming up. Going to be doing a bottle signing at Total Wine and More in Pasadena this Saturday at noon, so you can say hi. Corolla Drinks also do an event at Borderline Bar and Grill, Thousand Oaks. That's this Friday. Lynette, Dawson.
Appropriate Sombrero?
Appropriate Sombrero. Yes. A.K.A. Loxy, or I like to call him Maxi, Borderline. You think Lynette's going to that?
She's hosting it. So yeah,
okay. That's, now it's been raised or coin toss.
I had the exact same question. Still waiting.
All right,
what's happening
for someone to say affirmatively?
Oh,
all right.
Yes, she's going.
We will work it out. All right, and Vinny over here, by the way, Fat, a documentary.
Where do people go, Vinny?
Indiegogo, or you can visit fatdocumentary.com. Also, the coffee, we love it over here,
yeah.
purecoffeeclub.com.
Full of acrylamide, yeah.
Full of acrylamide.
And Adam, I just want to say that we're coming up, today is the first, we did a soft opening yesterday, but today is the first
He's pointing at his dick again.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's a hard opening.
Yes.
And we're coming up on $30,000 already, and we're number one in documentaries on Indiegogo as of right now. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, let's get
Jesus,
this going,
that's
folks.
That's like one and a half loafers for me. Awesome. Good on you, little guy. I love it. You folks are trying to do something out there. It's cute. What a dick I am. All right. El Malay. That's what I say. Say it fast. We'll bring him in. He's been in before. I probably mispronounced his name in the past. I'll tell you all about his Netflix special. We'll do all that after this.
This week on the Koi Pond.
So anyways, we come home from off the road, right? And Amy screams, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" I drop everything I do. I run to the bathroom because I also hear Chase going, "Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!" Chase has a shoebox, an empty Nike shoebox, and he's trying to scoop a house centipede off the wall into the box. The centipede comes out of the hole. Comes out of the hole, right? I go, "Oh my God, it came out of the box." He throws the box. He throws the box into the living room, and then he runs outside. I'm like, "You didn't do shit.
You made it worse.
You didn't do shit. You just moved the centipede somewhere else in the house."
Remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jimmy Kimmel has always said that Adam Carolla is the funniest comedian who's never written a joke. And on June 14th at Flapper's Comedy Club in Burbank, he'll prove it. Join Jimmy as he takes audience suggestions for topics and throws them to Adam for a completely improvised comedy event. That's right. Kimmel's pitching your topics to the Ace Man in a comedy home run derby. June 14th at Flapper's in Burbank. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi to low sports fans. Welcome to the brand new episode of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, you're talking about Karate Kid, the new Karate Kid. And it brings me to this question that we got from our pal Scott Perkins, longtime listener to everything you do, good enough to listen to the Damashek program, and now is a big fan of Good Sports. He submits this question for you to ruminate on, Ace. Apparently, based on the timeline of Point Break, Johnny Utah would be, or is, forever the same age as Adam Carolla. And now, given that Karate Kid with Cobra Kai, and by the way, we may get a chance. I don't want to promise anything that hasn't come through yet, but we may, Ace, you and me may get to visit with none other than the sensei of Cobra Kai. John Kreese. He may come in and visit us.
I've heard tale.
I don't want to start even thinking about it, because it's like buying a lottery ticket and spending all the money and then it doesn't come through.
Right.
But anyway, what do you think Johnny Utah is up to at age 53? Is he still a Fed? What's he doing?
Well, he's still a Blue Flame special. Probably eating a donut. He's probably moved to a longboard. He's not wearing the shorter surfboards.
So
they're more maneuverable.
When he changed his new assignment is, he fell in love with the surfing. He's sticking with it.
Yeah, because it's a way of life.
That's true.
So
we did hear that.
I like that. I think he's transitioned to a longboard because he's getting a little older. He's put on a little weight. Again, he's just trying to get out there. He's probably, I forgot about that movie, but that movie had the staple of every good, like, 80s, 90s movie, like, where there's a place that says, like, surf lessons, $50 an hour, and then he walks in and inquires about surf lessons and is verbally abused by the person that gives surf lessons. I don't know if it works that way with sandwich shops. Like, you come in and you go, give me pastrami on rye.
No,
you think you can handle it?
You ain't worth a sandwich.
You don't get it, dude.
You ain't worth my time. You ain't worth the two slices of bread.
Yeah, I mean, don't you? Isn't this part of your business? I wonder, what if guys who shine shoes
Scram.
At the airport work that way?
Scram! You probably like soup. You're pretending. Yeah, you don't love sandwiches.
Listen, I'm going to upgrade you to stew, but that's as close as you get to a sandwich, my friend.
What's the bid? Like, if the owner of the surf shop hears Lori Petty berating someone seeking lessons, you would think she'd be out on her ear, right?
I think there'd be a conversation that goes this way. Hey, whatever your character's name is in the movie. Lori Petty, our business is not teaching seasoned Wiley veterans how to surf. It's getting new faces into the door so that we can rent them wetsuits and equipment, and you can get $1 an hour to go out there and teach these guys. And thus, once they then have a great experience with us, they'll be coming in and buying wax and leashes and wetsuits.
Bringing
and all
their
the
kids in, whole new generation.
Yes,
look
I'm
at the money we're going to roll in.
I'm going to use a word we don't use very often in surfing parlance. All the accoutrements of surfing. Okay, now, conversely, when you're verbally abusive and you anger them and frustrate them and shame them, they tend to leave. And thus, we get no money.
That is the best
so
scene
please,
in a classic film, yes.
Could we please not pour on the attitude for the new customers?
Yeah, it's a weird choice by someone
Imagine
who
Imagine we sold candles.
Yeah.
Would you be abusive?
Do you have a friend of mine brought a cinnamon scented candle.
You can't handle cinnamon.
But I mean, we sold one to my friend and she.
You don't just come really in and ask for a cinnamon candle.
Vanilla?
It's a place you got to get to.
Can I borrow some matches at least?
You know what? I'm going to pump this shotgun. I'm going to count to eight. And I'm in a good mood, so I'm going to put Mississippi behind
it. I'll go, but you seem a little abrasive for someone running a candle store. And I just
also sell decorative shells.
Okay, I'll have one of those.
You
then.
Can't handle. I just don't think it's a good business model.
I don't think. Yeah. Like, how much do you? Yeah, you have to prove to me that you want these candles before I'm going to my money. My money is not enough to convince you, store owner, that I want your kids.
All right, that movie. You tell me a more unlikely spotting. I brought this up before, but I'm going to combine two. This will just be winner show or winner place, okay? A more unlikely spotting. That movie, Point Break, when they're on a moonless night out on the beach. And burnout surfer Hesher Stoner number one guy recognizes Johnny Utah from the 1986 Cotton Bowl because that guy knows nothing about sports. He would never. It's funny that
so true.
The thing about basketball is a sport and football is a sport. And guys who play football know a lot about guys who play basketball. And guys who play basketball, they know
football. Extreme sports fans and participants know nothing about traditional sports and vice versa. It's a weird thing.
Surfing is a sport and they don't know anything about a football player. But so more extreme spotting. That guy on that moonless night in the beach decides that that is Johnny Utah from the 86 Cotton Bowl. He's wearing a helmet. Now he's wearing cutoffs and a t-shirt. But all right, he recognizes
big fantasy
him.
Football player right. on the side, along right. with heisting banks and surfing with Bodie. That's what he does.
That one, or the commercial I saw in 1974 for the Money Store when the 8-year-old ran up to his dad and looked at a 74-year-old Phil Rizzuto and said, "Dad, it's Phil Rizzuto!" A silver-haired Phil Rizzuto in a three-piece suit, not in a Yankee uniform, just wearing a three-piece pinstripe suit.
Bucky Dent's fine, but he's no Rizzuto.
This is an 8-year-old boy. Dad, it's Phil Rizzuto. Okay. More unlikely spotting by a person that would never. I was sitting home when I was 9 years old watching commercials for the Money Store. All I knew is you had a guy in a pinstripe suit named Phil Rizzuto and representing a place called the Money Store. So to me, he's part of the Rizzuto right, crime yeah. syndicate. Like he's part of the Rizzuto family. They took out the Gambinos and now they run the money laundering business.
And by the way, why is Phil Rizzuto the guy, the go-to? Like, what's he know about Bay? I don't even know what the Money Store does, but why would he be in a authority on the subject anyway?
I would say that we get a good look.
Rizzuto.
Hank, what was it? Hank Greenberg?
Yep.
Who is it? The Jew?
Yeah.
Get him to do the Money Store. Don't get the guy with the Italian last name. My mind's going in a thousand different directions. What is this store? I remember as a kid, like, you buy money at this store? How's
Kofax
the Money Store?
Says, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Don't get Phil Rizzuto, because I don't know who Phil Rizzuto is. He was, a skipper of the Yankees. I mean, he was the shortstop for the Yankees.
Yeah, Rizzuto. Yeah, Rizzuto shortstop. Right. That's why I went Bucky Dent. I dug into my 70s archive.
All right, you tell me, what's a more unlikely spotting?
Well, I go with the latter, but also you would think that the surfer dude would then later on, about a half hour later, when they're like, "What's Johnny Utah, one of the great football players of the generation? Let's play some beach football." But when he sees that Bodie is at least as good as Johnny Utah, I'd be like, I must have been wrong. That couldn't have been the great college football player. Because my pal, the burnout surfer guy who likes to rob banks, couldn't keep up with him. Well, that can't be Johnny Utah.
It's also unclear. Find Phil Rizzuto, Gary, for the Money Store, like from the 70s. But it's also unclear what the rules are. We're going back to Karate Kid. You know what I mean? You kick the guy in the meaty part of his thigh, and that's a foul. But you put your heel under the bridge of his nose, and you win the fight. So I'm unclear what the contact rules are of the All-Valley Alley Karate Tournament.
Kick him in the face. Well, rejoice, everybody. Right. Just kick the bad guy in the face. What, because he's a bad guy? That's not legal? Outrageous.
The other part is, like, when you watch that game on the beach, like, people are throwing blocks and taking people out and stuff, but at some point, he tackles them into the surf, and they're like, whoa!
20 feet into the surf. Like, their feet may not even have been able to touch the bottom in the ocean. They went so deep to make it that. Hey, Utah, Bodie, I don't know if either one of you realize, but you're way out of bounds, guy. And how low must the self-esteem be? You know, and that was always, if you do pick up football and anybody agrees to be the offensive lineman, you know that that person has very low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that in Bodie's beach football game. Like, no, Lori Petty's the wideout. You're the right guard. Sorry, pal.
Who's fatter? The right fielder in Little League or the guy who agrees to be the lineman in the pickup football game, just the all-time lineman? Who's heavier? Let's go body mass index. We'll settle it next show.
All right, yeah, let's wrap it up there. Excellent stuff and a keen contribution for the Karate Kid focus conversation. We'll pick it up tomorrow on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports.